Hey guys, I'm Ryan Williams.
And I'm Jake Kern.
And this is 14,605.
And counting.
And we are back once again
Yes.
for episode 106 of 14,605 and counting.
Yeah.
And
And this time, we're going to get you some Bad Batch updates.
we promise.
We probably we'll probably do it first because we're gonna be saving the main event for the banger of an episode we got from 97.
Well, I mean, I thought both episodes this week. We called it Banger
We
Wednesday.
did.
Both episodes, to be fair, I thought both episodes this week were pretty much bangers.
I agree.
So,
But I know where your priorities lie. And that's not a bad thing.
Oh boy. We are eating good in the Marvel Town and
Yes.
Disney Plus. We're just eating good. Oh, did you see that they got Hulu shows on Disney Plus now?
Yes. So on that front,
Do I need to cancel? Can I cancel my Hulu?
no.
I don't. I
Here's what
can't
so
cancel.
here's what happened with us.
Okay.
We've had Hulu for a long time. We've had Hulu Live. I don't know if you have that.
I don't have Hulu Live.
Okay. Now, I will say we switched from Hulu Live to normal Hulu. And I'm kind of mad about it because there's a lot of stuff we watched on Hulu when we had Hulu Live. As soon as we switched, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna go watch this show. It says watch with Hulu Live. Are you kidding me? You don't have it on regular Hulu? So that sucked. However, I had Disney Plus, and I remember when that came out, you could get like the what was it, like the 3 or 4 year deal. You remember? Because I think you did the same thing, right? And so then you had I had Disney Plus, you had Disney Plus, you know. But then Hulu all of a sudden, because Hulu merged with Disney, Hulu is now Disney property. And I mean, ESPN also was, because like ESPN, was that Wide World of Sports or whatever's down in the Disney complex, kind of. But Hulu merged and you could get Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, and Hulu as a package. Well, I finally was like, well, I want to see what it would cost to make the change and everything. And I looked and I'm like, son of a bitch, I've got Disney Plus through Hulu and I'm paying for Disney Plus separate. So I canceled my Disney Plus, upgraded my Hulu, Disney, and ESPN thing. Added Paramount Plus because that actually is nice. It's got some good stuff on there. And doing all of that, I want to say Hulu Plus, Hulu Live was like 80 something bucks.
Yes.
And
I tried it once and I'm like, oh, this is too expensive for,
it is, but you know what? We used it so much that we were like, this is it was worth it because we used it for everything.
Like I only used I had YouTube TV. I only used it for football season. After football season, I canceled it. I'm
Yeah.
done.
So we let's see, I looked at like what would it be to do just the basic Hulu without the live stuff? And
I
I
think
ended up
it's
getting
like
Hulu without
9.99 or
commercials,
something like
Disney
all.
Plus without ads, which thank God, and ESPN Plus, which gets you live sports, and it was like 34 bucks, and that's combined. So like we were paying like for Hulu and a Disney Plus subscription, it was like 115 bucks, and we got it down to like 35. So if you have Hulu already and you want ESPN, look and see if you can bundle it because it could be cheaper.
All right.
And you might, if, and with Hulu, you might already have Disney Plus attached to it. Check that out, because you can switch. It's easy to switch. I went on Hulu's Hulu's website, and it was so easy to switch the package, and did it like instantaneously. And then I just, after I made sure I did that, I went and canceled the other Disney Plus.
Well, the more you know by Hot Take Jake.
And that had just happened like a month and a half ago. We did that. Okay. So that's why it's like fresh in my mind still.
Okay. So, all right. Well, there you go.
You'll start seeing Hulu stuff on Disney and Disney stuff on Hulu. It's starting to, like, they actually changed the logo for Disney Plus. I don't know if you noticed.
I saw that. I noticed that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, well, what's, you know, obviously it's different, but what's different about it? Well, the color is the Disney Plus blue and the Hulu green blended.
Yeah.
And they also changed the arch. It's not gradient anymore, it's solid.
Yeah.
So I think it looks nice.
Yeah.
Some people were complaining about it, but I mean complain about anything.
Right, exactly. So well, let's get into some Bad Batch here. We got two episodes to cover. And these two episodes are kind of one arc cut. Well, arc is
I don't know if they're gonna do mini a third arc to it.
Mini arc.
And you know, Clone Wars and Bad Batch have been kind of famous for doing those mini arcs and doing them well too.
Yes.
Throughout the show. So
yes.
You
gotta learn what the M count is.
And they say
the
it.
Bad
too.
Batch does anyway.
They say it.
The M count. What is it? Ooh.
And we get to see Fennec.
We do.
And that was great. And,
yeah, and I'm sorry, you didn't get to see your boy yet.
You know what? I'm gonna say I was disappointed to not see him, but I was pleasantly surprised with what we got.
Yes.
And
so here's the deal, right? If you didn't do your homework, you know. So basically, Bad Batch, they go on a mission. They find Fennec Shan. Fennec sitting in the bar chilling with this Greedo-looking dude.
I thought it was Greedo for a second.
I thought it was Greedo. It looks very, it's Greedo-looking dude, like same species, but I don't think it's Greedo. But she's like, you know, scram, basically, at the bricks. And basically, she says, hey, you want this intel on MCOW? You got to help me nab this bounty that I'm trying to get. Basically, you're going to do all the work. You're going to take all the risk. And I'm going to get the reward. I'm going to keep all of it. And then I'll think about giving you your intel, basically. Solid deal.
Oh, yeah. I would take that deal any day.
Yeah. Solid deal. Yeah, you get in the water. You set off. You disable all the mines and shit, right? You do everything. And I'll be the lookout, basically.
That's why I don't get in the water. I'm like, those things were nasty.
Looking strong, John. That's basically the vibes that I got.
Looking strong, Wrecker.
You know, so, you know, that happens. Fennec says, hey, you know, Bad Batch, you know, they're here, you know, blah, blah, blah. And we might have thought that that was another bounty hunter, a certain bounty hunter that will remain nameless for now.
Right.
But. Right. But
rhymes with Bad Kane.
But we get, you know, we get the old, I don't want to say a double pump fake in reverse because she was in the previews for this season, but we get Asajj Ventress. Somehow Asajj Ventress has returned.
Oh Jesus. You know, it was fitting that it was her because I'm gonna I think this is a good spot to drop my hot take.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Hot take alert. We need like a sound button that's like hot take, you know, something like
that. We do need that.
We need buttons. We should have had buttons a long time ago. Yeah. I gotta figure that out.
Yeah.
But here I am throwing down a hot take.
All right.
So Asajj Ventress was a perfect person for this role because obviously she's in the gray area or the yellow area, if you wanna say it, kind of like the Bad Batch is. You know, mm-hmm. being on the outskirts of they're not really good and they're not bad. You know, they're doing what's best for them, which happens to be best for a lot of other people, really, you know. And they end up becoming these kind of good guys in a way, but they've always done what's best for them. And they come up against Asajj Ventress, who is this separatist assassin, they called her, which was fitting. I mean, it's exactly what she was.
Yes, that's true.
Right.
Yes.
And she says, basically, like, how many are different than you? And it's like, true. You know?
Yes.
But my thought here is, you see the yellow lightsaber.
Uh-huh.
Again. And my hot take is, do we get a hint at a young Baylan Skull at any point? Because he's not, I mean, at that point, she's basically...
Are you basing this on kind of the same tint or same family of lightsaber color?
Partially. Mm-hmm. But also because of what she said, when she walked away and they asked her, who do you work for? She said, myself. And that was very much Baylan Skull. He worked for himself. He wanted what was best. He wanted his thing, you know, and he would help whoever paid him. He didn't have an allegiance to, oh gosh, mind blanking. The from Ahsoka, the lady that he was helping.
Oh,
my mind is totally fried right now.
Yeah, no, there's just so many characters.
Yeah, but her.
Yeah.
He wasn't in any allegiance to her or Thrawn. They were paying him.
Yeah.
And he saw that he could get what he wanted if he went along with what they did and helped them.
Yeah,
they were
Morgan Elsbeth.
They gave him an offer he couldn't. What's that?
Morgan.
Thank you, Elsbeth. Yes, yeah. Morgan Elsbeth. It was an offer he couldn't refuse because he's like, well, this is exactly what I'm going for, and our purposes align here, so I'll help you. I mean, I'm sure. Well, maybe not, but I mean, you know, what if whatever Ahsoka was doing lined up with what he wanted? He probably would have helped her. He didn't have a hatred for Ahsoka or anything like that. He was just new. He was not neutral, but he was just kind of going with the flow. He's not a white knight. He's that gray good guy, bad guy, you know, anti-hero, whatever you want to call him. And I feel like that's where she fits, Ventress.
Yes. I agree.
So she's not going to go rat them out to the Empire, but she's not going to help them take down the Empire. But if the Empire came and said, hey, we're looking for this girl, what's her name? Omega, you know, do you know where she's at? What are you going to pay me? Yeah, I know exactly where she's at, you know, like, but I also think she would maybe not do that because she'd be like, nah, I don't want to be involved in that, you know?
I don't think that would happen just from a practical sense, because if the Empire is like, oh, that's Asajj Ventress, let's go ask her where Omega's at.
Yeah.
They'd be like, wait a minute. That's Asajj Ventress.
Exactly.
Let's freaking
they're gonna stay away
let's from take her. no, let's take her out. Well, like, yeah, she shouldn't be alive.
Yeah, I mean, separatist and all. Exactly. But, I mean...
Well, I think at the Empire, at this point, the Empire, they want to eliminate any force-wielding things that aren't under their that aren't under their control slash under their umbrella.
That's fair.
Yeah. Because anything that's not under the Empire umbrella, anything that's any type of Jedi like is a huge threat to the Emperor.
Yeah. And she was in no way a Jedi.
Right.
But the other thing is she had ties to the sisters.
The sisters of Darthamir.
Which Morgan Elspeth.
Yep.
So that also is another piece that is, you know, along those lines with Skull. I'd love to see that, but I don't know. Probably not.
At this point. Yeah, Baylan Skull is at this point probably still maybe on the down low somewhere.
Right.
At this point.
Yeah, I mean, if Ahsoka's not familiar with him by person, you know, like she's not, she wouldn't look and she didn't look and was like, oh, that's Baylan Skull, you know.
Yeah.
He knew her, obviously, because he knew Vader, or Anakin, yep. I should say. He knew Anakin.
Yep.
But I'm gonna throw it out there. I just had a flash of something, and I'm like I was gonna say it, and I was like, that's stupid. I'm like, no, say it anyway. So, what if Baylan Skull was tasked by Vader to hunt down Jedi? And what if he ran across Asajj Ventress at some point, and she was the one who put that light in him to change course?
Oh, like, man.
Like she kicked his rudder, and he all of a sudden was like, yeah, you're right. I'm not doing the good thing here. I'm going to change course. Thank you.
I think that's a stretch.
It's just okay. Sure.
I would think that, I think we still got to, we're the whole Asajj Ventress story, right? Mm-hmm. They have a whole, I think they throw this in here to give more layers to what they're going to do in the future. Because they can like add to her story.
Sure.
Now that we have another, not Jedi, not Sith, but we have another force wielding being from the Clone Wars era that's around now, that will be another character for use in the future.
And they're making a big deal out of non blue, green, red lightsabers.
Yes, you know. Yes, that's very important.
Ventress and Baylan Skull for sure, and then you look at Shin. Hers was orange. No, Skull's was orange.
Skull's was orange.
Thank you. Not his wasn't yellow. His was orange.
That's why I said like the same family of color.
Yeah.
Massage.
Shin's was Shin's red.
Probably.
I can't remember. Maybe that was a little orange too. Maybe a little more red. But then even look at Rey. Hers turned into that like yellow-white kind of color at the end of Rise.
Yeah.
I can't believe I just brought that up. But but still, you know.
Yeah. I think that would be a stretch because I think that Asajj would want to keep her existence on the down low. Like, everybody thinks I'm dead.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Let's keep it that way.
But I guess from that perspective, if someone, if like Vader or someone were to come across information and be like, oh, we better take care of her, then someone would have to hunt her. And if that person were Skull, I would be interested to see how that played out. If that, I mean, it's like you said, stretch, but I had to say it.
No, that's
because that's what we do on here.
That's
right or wrong, good or bad. We throw shit out there. We throw stuff against the wall and hope it sticks.
Yeah, that's what we do. But let me tell you what, my X-Men stuff. When we get there, I'm sticking.
You are.
I'm sticking. I'm sticking, baby.
So are you, yeah. So are you telling me we're done talking about Bad Batch already?
No. We're not done yet. We're not done yet. No, I'm just saying we're talking about throwing stuff on the wall, yeah. But just saying X-Men 97 so far, I'm like super glue, baby.
You're throwing stuff at the wall and they're adamantium claws. They're sticking to the wall.
Yeah. But yeah, one thing that I was looking for in the last episode is at the end of the last episode, you know, Omega asked Asajj, did I pass the test?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, nah, you didn't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, run along, child.
Yeah.
And then Crosshair goes, you're lying.
Yeah. Yep.
You're lying. She was like, oh, but what? About which part? No, she said which part. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sitting there looking like these two need to get freaky. Asajj and Crosshair. Let's see if you clones are all the same. Just gonna gloss right over that, aren't we?
No, I mean, I didn't go that route in my mind. I mean, hey, everybody has needs, I guess.
I just, she was just eyeballing him and they walked past each other and kind of like glanced at each other as they walked past each other. And I was like, what's going on here? Force is strong in this one.
Wow. Wow.
And, you know, speaking of Force, how do you feel about the whole Omega possibly Force sensitive thing?
Okay. This is where I was going.
Okay.
I was trying to see where Asajj saw something. Like, I was trying to look in the episode for a subtle hint. Like, okay, where does Asajj see something in her? The only place that I saw in that episode was where she was doing the whole bouncing act thing.
Mm-hmm.
And right after she told her to focus or like free her mind, and like right before the rest of the crew gets in the shot, like they're watching her, right before that, the camera went to Asajj's eyes and they kind of like sharpened up or kind of, you know, puckered up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
For a split second. And I was thinking maybe there she saw something that we didn't see.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only spot. Now, if you go back to Phantom Menace, like, okay, like Qui-Gon had a freaking thing to test her blood. It had a freaking thing to test Anakin's blood.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like real simple. So like you don't need like this big laboratory like the Empire had. Like freaking Qui-Gon had like a portable thing to test Anakin's blood in Phantom Menace.
Yes, while he was using the Schick razor for his his comm thing.
Yeah. So maybe she had one of those. Like, what spot she would get Omega's blood from? I don't know that.
Yeah.
Maybe like right before, like initially when Batcher ran out the cave and she popped up, and like right before that, when she was like, she had her hand. That I don't know.
There was time in there too. Like they could have happened, you know, before like she walked over to her ship to run whatever test she had.
Yeah, I was looking for a spot to where where she could have got Omega's blood. Mm-hmm. That was the only place I saw, or B, where she saw something in the tests. Yeah. Which, like I said, the only point that I might have saw was right before the crew got into the shot right behind her when she was doing the balancing act. Her eyes kind of puckered up a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, maybe it's there. Or I'm just throwing stuff out there now, hoping something sticks. The way that Omega has the relationship with
Batcher.
Yep. Yeah.
Those dogs, I mean, basically that were feral and would kill anybody who came near them. She all of a sudden got this one to be her like companion.
Yes. So, those are the only things that I thought of.
Yeah.
Other than her having a portable M count machine that Qui-Gon had.
Yeah.
Because all those tests, like if you go back to the history of Jedi in the movies and series, like when they're not trained, they always fail the test. Luke, Rey.
Yeah.
Like they all fail the test. Like they all suck at it.
Yeah.
But they look for something else. So I was just looking for what something else that she was looking for.
You know, when great, I mean, great for them to give this to us, you know, in episode 9 of 15 or 16 of the final season, you know. Unless they plan on going somewhere with us in the future, like that Mandalorian movie.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, they are setting up things for the Mandalorian movie.
Yeah.
They have a lot of things that they could use.
Yeah.
So, but back to your original question, how do I feel about Omega possibly being a Force wielder? I don't love it. I don't hate it. Okay, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't feel strongly either way about it, put it that way.
The way I feel about it is, pun intended, don't force it. You know? Just, right. No other way to say it really though, but just don't force it. If it was something that was going to happen, like I guess I'm more okay with it because the whole season started off and most of that like second half of the last season with Hemlock and his tests and trying to do this thing for the Emperor, like, you know, okay, that's been going on, and it turns out to be M count, and that's going to tie into the Emperor somehow returning and what's going on with Grogu and all that. I get it. That's a big picture they're painting. Mm-hmm. And then to say that she has high M count, cool. All right, fine. And now you bring Ventress in to give them information, and here comes the, well, let's do the Jedi test. And it's like, okay, if there wouldn't have been all this groundwork laid, I would have been like, bullshit. Like, stop forcing the force-sensitive narrative. Like, we don't have to have that. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I'm fine with it for now because I do like how they've handled it. I got a little cringy in this episode because I was like, oh, don't do it. Don't ruin it. But I get the feeling too when she said no to Omega, and then, you know, Crosshair said, "You're lying.
You're lying.
You're lying." Which part? When that happened, I got the Morpheus telling Neo he's not the chosen one.
Yeah,
you know, just like, oh, he failed that one test. He didn't make the jump across the buildings.
Yeah.
Nope. The chosen one would have made that easily. You're not the chosen one. and then ends up later like, oh, he is the chosen one. Wow. You know, like he was, it's the, yeah, it's not you, but I really think it is. And I just don't want to get you like all amped up about it or get you thinking about it too much.
I mean, they are setting up a split of Omega and the Bad Batch if they do decide to do that. I feel like
well,
there's not going to be a totally happily ever after.
Well,
this final season.
I think we're going to end up with the only way Omega is going to be allowed to split with the Bad Batch is either from their cold dead hands or once they've defeated Hemlock and there's no longer a threat of her being hunted. So
yes,
if they take down Hemlock's operation, burn it to the ground, and they're like, do you want to do the force sensitive thing with Ventress? Well, then we'll go
actually,
find
her. Take that back. She said, Ventress said, and she has the point, yes, she has to be trained. At this point, there's nobody out there training folks right now.
Yeah.
In Peak Empire.
Right. Right, and Ventress...
That's another problem. Yeah.
Just because she said she had to be trained does not mean Ventress wanted to do it.
Oh, yeah, she ain't gonna do that shit.
No.
No. Yeah, there's nobody to train her currently, right. So...
Now, it would be interesting if they did reveal somebody. I don't know who it would be, though. At this point, I mean, it's not... We're still too young for it to be Rebels-related.
Hey, who, man.
Huh?
We did not see Mace Windu take his last breath.
Oh, man. You did not just go there.
I went there.
Samuel
L. Jackson even said, like, yeah, he wants to come back as Mace Windu.
Yeah, and I completely forgot. Now I'm like, ooh. I even when I said red, purple, when I said red, green, and blue, I almost said purple. Oh, yeah. Man, that's true,
Mace,
too.
Mace Windu has not, we haven't seen him take his last breath. And apparently, it's a thing in Star Wars that, hey, if you don't see them expire...
Then somehow they return. But
tapping too many times in Star Wars.
You know what though? So. You've seen Obi-Wan and Yoda take their final breath, but somehow they keep popping up everywhere. Ghost action, like, oh man, I was taking a shower. Why are you in here? The Force is strong with you, son. No,
yeah. Wow.
Like, it's just gonna keep popping up.
Wow.
Creepy force ghosts.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's
so. Yeah, I don't love it. I don't hate it. I'm just along for the ride on this to see where it goes.
And now that they got that, well, last week was, let me see, episode 8, and there was the 6 and 7. They're probably done with this mini arc. I don't know where they go next, but they still need the information, so they're going to have to go find. Well, they figured out who's hunting her. I mean, it's the Empire, obviously. They're just like, oh, it's the Empire. How they don't think it's Hemlock is beyond me. No, they know it's Hemlock. Oh, it was the M count.
They just don't know why.
They were trying to figure out what the M count was. So now they know what the M count is.
Yeah.
So now they can go back to their plan of taking down Hemlock somehow.
But like, okay, riddle me this, Batman.
I'm Batman.
Did they really need to know why? Hemlock is hunting her.
Yeah.
We need to stop Hemlock. Who gives a shit why?
Well, okay, two things. One, we needed to know.
I know we needed to know.
That's just plot driving narrative.
Given right? the not fourth wall existence.
Sure. No, that's why I said two, because that one was, I mean, you knew that. That was obvious.
Yeah.
I was saying that just for the point of saying it out loud. The second thing I think is if they know how serious it is, I think they want to know if it's just Hemlock or if it's like the Empire. Like if they take Hemlock out, are they going to stop coming after her? Or is Hemlock just a cog? And if they take him out, everyone's still going to come after her. So that kind of depth, I think.
I guess. Yeah.
But I do agree. It's like, who cares why? If you can figure out why along the way, bonus points. But still, the goal is, we know Hemlock's after her. We need to take his ass down.
Yeah. Yep. But... And there's still, you know, the bounty hunter, a certain bounty hunter that's going to remain nameless, that was shown in that was hinted at in the previews for this season. So maybe Hemlock hires a certain bounty hunter.
You know, and it would be interesting because. Especially because of his relationship with Boba Fett.
Yeah.
So, which would also be interesting because...
There's going to be a payoff at some point.
There has to be.
The whole Boba Fett
Omega thing. They can't give us Omega.
I imagine it's probably going to be done in The Mandalorian.
Yeah. I would agree with you.
There's going to be... Because at that point... The clones are dead at that point. Or they're just really, really old.
Right.
They're either dead or really, really old at that point. Because in Mandalorian, you know, Boba's, you know, he's pushing midlife crisis, if not older.
Yeah, but he didn't age very well in the stomach of a Sarlacc pit.
Whoa.
he wasn't there long, but you know.
That's true. And you know, the clones have that advanced aging factor. Because, right. you know, Omega's older than them, technically. So.
Yes. Look at Boba Fett. He's been in the desert. look how Obi-Wan aged in the desert. You see the pictures of Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan, and then you go to Sir Alec Guinness, and it's like, oh, how much time has passed? 15 years?
Yeah.
Wow, he got real old.
Yeah.
It's like he was president or something. You seen those before and after pictures of people when they're president?
Yeah, that is a horrible job. Yeah, that is a horrible job. Yeah, yeah, you age horribly.
You age like dog years.
Yeah. And not gracefully either.
No.
And it's great, yeah.
And I would say the only one that I think aged kind of gracefully was Obama, for sure. I mean, he looked...
And that's relatively speaking.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, when he got in versus when he got out, yeah, that's relatively speaking, relative to everybody else.
Yep. Exactly. He did
better. But, yeah, it was still like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, his hair went from pretty much mostly black to gray.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So. But, yeah, we're gonna have that payoff.
Yeah,
at some point
we need it
with Alpha and Omega.
Mm-hmm.
There's
no reason to create Omega without connecting to Alpha. Like, there has to be that payoff.
Yeah. So
overall. Solid episode.
It was. Yeah. It was a solid episode. It was a banger Wednesday.
Yes. And part two, well, I don't know. Was this, I think, I watched this one. I watched Bad Batch first. I know you didn't watch Bad Batch first.
Yeah, I never watched Bad Batch.
No.
Come on.
So, going on to part two of Banger Wednesdays, part two for me and part one for you. That's how it happened to work out.
I mean, wait a minute. Hold on.
We got the music.
Gotta listen to the whole thing. You can't skip the intro.
So what's funny is I was watching this at lunch at work yesterday. I got my hour. I'm limited to time.
Mm-hmm.
This popped up and I saw skip intro.
No.
And I scooted the mouse.
No, you didn't.
Hold on. I scooted the mouse to it and I was like, no, I should watch it.
You don't skip that intro.
You know, so what's funny is that when they put that skip intro button on, that is actually one that's long enough that would be worth having a skip intro button for. When you look at...
Yeah, Bad Batch is like, why do they put skip intro on there?
If you're going to put skip intro in, put it before all the heads and the Star Wars logo.
Yeah.
Don't just put
it... Bad Batch skip intro is literally just the title screen. That's
by the time it. By the time you can move to click it, like, oh, it's already over.
You're only skipping 2 seconds.
Yeah. It's so dumb. Like, why? Why even put it?
Yeah.
I would prefer them to put it before all that, the flashing heads. I don't know. Flashing helmets, whatever you want to call it. I don't know.
I guess. Yeah.
You put it before that. Let me skip that. Well, I guess they can't because that's a, that's specific to every Disney Plus Star Wars series. And then Bad Batch, the intro is just for the... So, like, if they had the Mandalorian intro, that one's even short, too. Yeah. I think in terms of their, like, how they structure the shows, they couldn't... They wouldn't put a skip to skip that part, and then you'd have to skip the Bad Batch entrance. So I guess I can see how that happens the way it does. But it's pointless.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. That's just like, that's the, I also never skip, The Punisher.
No.
I always watch that because of the music.
Yeah.
The music just sets the tone.
The Daredevil one, I started skipping because it's long.
Yeah, I started skipping. Yeah. After the first episode, I always skip the Daredevil one.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is like
long and boring. Like, I don't need to see like the music didn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But what's funny is now I think this goes for me for a lot of shows that I watch when there's a long intro. When a new season comes out, I'll watch the intro on the first episode.
Oh, yeah.
Possibly on the second.
I do that.
And then after that, I skip it every time except for the final episode. And then I watch it one more time before the final episode because it's like a buildup.
Yeah.
It's like I want the final episode to last longer. So I watch the intro and I'm like, this is the last time I'm going to be watching the intro for a while until a new season comes out.
Yeah. Punisher, I had to. Like, here we go.
Yeah. Another show that I did. So, yeah. You got those.
Can't skip that music.
No, you got that queued up real quick.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that just set the mood for that.
Yeah.
You know.
So another show that I watched that had a long intro was American Horror Story.
Oh yeah.
And that one's, that one's like creepy. I don't know what better way to say it. It's just, it's like kind of disturbing and edgy and just creepy. But yeah, every time I watch the show, I have to listen to it for the first episode. A lot of times I'll skip it after that. But then again, the final episode, I've got to listen to it again. It sets the mood. Yeah. Even though it's, you know, a creepy mood. Like, I remember the first time I watched, so I know we're segueing here quite a bit, but the first time I watched American Horror Story, season one, I had texted Val and I was like, hey, I'm going to start watching American Horror Story. And I think it was like, it might have been like when the second or third season was out, I was watching the first one. So I was a couple years behind it, but it was still pretty fresh, you know? So I was like, hey, I'm going to watch this. I'll let you know what it's like to see if you want to watch it with me. And that first episode, the intro before the intro, it was like the prelude to the episode. We were like 2 minutes into that. I texted her and I was like, yeah, you're not going to want to watch this show. And then the credits rolled, that intro music, and it was like not even like 2 seconds. I was like, you are definitely not going to want to watch this show. It's like, yeah, you're not even going to be able to stand it, handle it, nothing. I enjoy it because I like horror, but yeah. Anyway.
Well,
97.
Well,
so I'm calling it for girls.
Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, we said Mr. Sinister was showing up. That didn't take long.
No.
Boom.
Not at all.
Boom.
And he's something.
He is. And, you know, we basically, like I said, we threw it up on the wall and it's there.
Yeah.
And I mean, it basically set that arc up starting from the end of the original animated mm-hmm. series. But we talked about, yeah, last week, Jean Grey, Madeline Pryor.
Yep, there it is. Goblin Queen.
And then, yep, they set up the Goblin Queen character. There was one thing, and I'll let you lead this discussion.
Okay.
Because there's one thing that I saw a title of an article and I'm like, okay, but then I watched I didn't read the article, I just saw the title of it. I'm like, okay, but then I watched the episode again and I'm like, holy shit, you're damn right. But I'll get to that.
Okay.
In a second. Get that. So now you had some, you said you had some Hawkeye moments.
Yes.
In this.
They're,
tell me about that. What do you mean by that? You had Hawkeye moments here.
Okay. So I had mentioned I had done some, little bit of history background of Mr. Sinister, like long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some things that I'd seen and, I had also done some digging like around the time Deadpool 2 and just stuff from the comics and this game, this board game that I have, it's Marvel United. It has a lot of characters, villains, heroes, anti-heroes. I'll have to show you these models because I've painted them really good. But they've got all the X-Men.
Yeah, you showed me several of them.
Yeah,
the ones
like
that you painted. Yeah,
they've got like X-Men now, and then they also have like the first class X-Men in their first class uniforms.
Yep.
But as one of the things I love about this show so far is Morph.
Oh.
Because he flicks into other characters, and you're like Colossus, Angel.
Yeah.
What was the other one last week? He did another one last week that was 1, 2. But then this week he did Spiral.
Yep.
Because he wanted to raise six hands. There's Spiral. He did Magic, who is Colossus's sister. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So you're seeing those things. And when you see him do that, you're like, he knows who that is to morph into them. They exist. So careful. Watch. Pay attention to him. Because,
yeah.
Oh, he did Psylocke. That was another one. He did Psylocke.
Yep.
Which means Betsy Braddock exists, which means Brian Braddock, Captain Britain, also must exist by deduction. So that I'm enjoying. The Hawkeye moment with him taking Nathan Summers and saying he was going to make a clone of him. And that would become the villain Strife. I don't know if you caught that.
I did not catch that.
Yeah, Strife is a clone of Nathan Summers, and he's a villain. So it's like one of Cable's villains, and he's a clone of Nathan Summers. So I was like, they're right there. Even though he got him in that vat for a little bit and pulled him out, he was pulled out. Sinister's probably got enough to make one clone, and that's going to probably be Strife. So that was my kind of Hawkeye moment there.
Well, you mentioned Morph. That kind of leads me into my the article that I saw.
Okay.
So you remember last week when we talked about, you know, people saying X-Men being woke and all this other stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like,
the non-binary Morph.
Right, right. Yeah. I was like, if you want to point to something, I would say you can probably point to that if you wanted to make that argument, because in the original X-Men cartoon, he took the form of the guy.
Yeah.
But I saw an article after the episode came out. Not even, I didn't read the article, I just saw the title, that it, you know, this episode changed Wolverine and Morph's dynamic, or changed their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't read the article.
Yes.
But I had it in my mind. So then I ran it back. I ran the episode back, and I'm like, holy shit, they sure did.
And
holy cow.
So
first of all, Morph is super funny, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he goes,
he's the comic relief for sure.
Wolverine and Morph and Gambit were in the training room early in the episode. They come out, and Morph was going through the training room schedule. And he said, well, he said, looks like Rogue and Magneto, they got today and the rest of tomorrow and the mm-hmm. next day.
Yep.
And he goes, Rogue's really training her stamina with the new boss. I was like, wow.
Yep. Yep.
He said,
yep.
I was like, yes, Disney Plus, go there.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Like, I love those double entendre comments.
Yes, that, I do too.
That he makes. I was like, well, yeah, they got it today, tomorrow, and the next. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Then, like, the rest of the scene, the rest of the sequence, he goes, so Gambit leaves to go find Rogue. Wolverine leaves to go comfort, quote unquote, Jean.
Yeah.
The real Jean.
Yeah.
And then Morph sighs and says, and then there is Morph. And he looked disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, hmm. And then when Green Goblin, or Goblin Queen, I should say, Green Goblin, goodness gracious, when Goblin Queen starts doing her thing
so
in the mansion.
On that, my note says, holy creeptastic mind F.
Right.
That was creepy as hell.
Right.
So good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, especially that like dummy that looked up with its big teeth and was like, hi. I'm like, oh, God, no, please turn this off.
Yeah. Right. But that shows you what Jean Grey could really do if, I mean, I guess, you know, we saw it when she's bound with the Phoenix, but she can really do some things if she put her mind to it. But the mess with Morph, she has like a Wolverine setup in the shower. And then Morph like goes, need some help with those hard to reach places. And I'm like, whoa. Whoa. And then the next thing Goblin Queen says as Wolverine,
Yeah.
as if I don't know, as if we all don't know. Then I'm like, holy
There
shit.
it is.
There it is. They made him binary and probably
He's
bisexual
double bi.
because he likes Wolverine.
Binary, bisexual,
Which
bi squared.
in the original animated series, they were really good friends in
Yeah.
the original anime, but it wasn't to this level. And I'm like, yeah, they really did that.
Didn't catch that.
They were, yeah,
There's your Hawkeye moment.
I wouldn't have caught it if I didn't read that headline of that article. Like, I just read the headline of it. I didn't read the article, but I had it in my mind when I ran the episode back and I watched it again. And I'm like, they sure did do that. And it's kind of like Loki. They made Loki sexuality kind of, he's pretty much the same as Loki. Loki can change into any thing, any person, any gender that he wants. So it's kind of like he's the Loki of the X-Men series, this non-binary bisexual character. And I'm like, yeah, they did that.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. All right. Am I gonna complain about it? No.
No.
I just thought that was eye-opening. It was interesting that they did that. But yeah, that was definitely a conscious change in Morph's character. Or maybe it was always there. It's just now we're in 2024 that they're gonna explore it.
Sure.
You
Well, and
know?
what better way to do it than with a mind-controlled, powerful psychic to show all the insecurities of all the X-Men?
Yeah. So, it's I thought that was really cool. Like, you know, and I guess if you complain about, you know, X-Men being woke, first of all, we had that discussion last episode,
Yep.
but I mean, I guess if you're gonna point to something that they made a conscious change at, you can point to this, but hey, I mean, it didn't bother me, so
No,
hey.
didn't bother me either because you know what? I don't go
And
out of my way
okay.
looking for it either. You know what I mean? I feel like some people do. They're like, "Nope, oh, that's a little too gay for me." You know, like it's like, why? Why
Yeah.
even?
And I think in the 90s, the original animated series was geared toward children because that was Saturday morning cartoons. That's what we old timers used to do as kids. I guess we're old timers now.
Now we are.
Yeah, you know, but now these animated series, like it's more than just kids watching these shows. It's
Yeah.
teenagers, adults, people real reliving their childhoods like us. So I mean, I guess they throw these things in there, like the double entendre.
Yeah.
Like training your stamina with the new boss.
Yep.
Like, that's clearly a line that was thrown in for the adults.
For sure. And you know,
So I guess they're you know, they're it's 2024 and they're implementing, you know, 2024 stuff.
well, I
So
can't tell you how many kids' shows I watch where I'm like, oh, that's for us parents. You know,
yeah,
they're all
no,
over
you
the
didn't
place.
tell me. You told me about that. Yeah, a little few episodes ago, right? What show was that you were watching?
Bluey does it. A lot of them do it, but that one did it, and then crap. I just went blank. But it happens a lot where
Okay.
you're like listening to what they say and you go, "Oh, I get that." Like Val and I will look at each other and go, "Wow, wow, they said that. And then we look at Donovan and he's just grinning because he's laughing at what's happening. You're like, he doesn't get it yet. Even watching kids, like even watching, like I think the one of the examples was me watching Ace Ventura when I was 10 years old.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes. I was just thinking of that movie. I just thought of that movie. Ace Ventura is like 20 times funnier as an adult.
Gun is digging into my hip. You're like, oh, okay, she had a gun. Oh, no, she didn't have a gun.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Like, you get all of the jokes now.
Yeah.
As an adult. Yeah.
And so there's another thing I wanted to point out with Cable, Nathan Summers.
Go for it.
So Jean the clone, when she gives birth to him, like, what should we name him? And she does this like eyes wide open thing and goes, there it is, Nathan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now that we know she's mind controlled, let's unpack that a little bit, because that would seem like a conscious moment for Sinister to step in and go, you're going to name him Nathan. And his name is Nathaniel Essex.
Oh.
So.
Look at you.
Named her clone. Scott and clone Jean's child is named very similarly to Mr. Sinister.
Look at you. Look at you. So that wouldn't surprise me, because like I said the last show, the second to last episode of the original animated series, they did Nathaniel Essex or Mr. Sinister's origin story. And basically he was running those experiments on mutants that Morph was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
His original intent running those experiments, because his wife was sick. He was running those experiments to get a cure for his wife. And his wife was a Gray in last name. So there might be, if I were to parlay off of what you just said, there might be that, oh, you know, this is a direct descendant of my wife.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm going to put my name on there.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, if I remember this, what I had read at the moment Nathaniel Essex, when his wife either she passed away or when she was like in the worst of it, I think she said that he was Sinister, and that's where the name came from.
Okay. Think they might have did something different in the animated series. I can't remember.
Okay.
I would have to watch it again.
But I mean, interesting connection, because this is a really deep connection.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure they talked about, I'm not pretty sure, but my solid guess is what I said last week. They, in this episode, before when Jean and the clone Madeline Pryor had that exchange, like, we don't know when we were switched, so we don't know who was the Phoenix, who did what, etc. I think the switch happened when Apocalypse had his arc in the, I think it was the fourth season of the animated series.
Okay.
And he was kidnapping all of the psychic mutants, and Sinister was the one that he picked to get Jean Grey.
Yeah,
and like I said,
in that time
last week, Apocalypse is in the axis of time.
That's it.
So he literally could have, oh hey Jean, gotcha, went through a portal to his lab and did his experiments.
Yeah,
which could have taken years.
Right.
But in Apocalypse's perspective, it could have been like 2 seconds.
Right.
Because time works differently. So that's my theory as to when the switch happened.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
And that switch happened in the animated series that switch happened after the Phoenix. So that would mean the original Jean Grey was the Phoenix.
Yeah.
So that's if they keep that continuity from the original animated series.
Right.
Which I think they would. So
I think my favorite line of the episode was, "Time for an exorcism, punks." That was awesome. He's like, "Cyclops hit me." Oh, this is great.
That was a cool, like, man, they're making Cyclops a badass with his power.
And he cut
like that. That was a cool way to combine both of their powers.
Yes. And he used his blast to draw blood from the Goblin Queen.
He did.
Which at that point, you know, when he does that, you're like, oh, he means business. He's separating work from home here.
Ooh, look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you. Yeah. That was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite line is probably the stamina line from Morph. Like I literally laughed out loud when he said that.
There's another thing I noticed when Morph was talking about Sinister, and you saw him change from that like gray non-binary face back to the face of that guy. His eyes were sunken. And he looked real like, oh.
Yeah.
And that right there was like a memory of, like, yeah, I know who that he is.
Yeah, that was because that was a whole arc in the original animated series.
And yeah,
that was literally how he looked.
Yeah.
At that point. So.
With Sinister?
Callback. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. That was a fantastic callback. Yes, to the... To the animated series.
And
the original.
When you were talking about the relationship between him and Logan, it made me think he probably empathizes with him because he was experimented on in Weapon X.
Yep. Yep.
So he can probably see, like, hey, bub, you know?
Yeah.
I know what you've been through, bub.
Can I just get a Wrecker real quick? I know we're on X-Men, but can I?
You didn't get one with the show. That's right.
hey, you get your hands off Omega. Oh, I love it.
Yep.
I love it.
I gotta get out of here, Minotti. couldn't go without it. You said Punisher earlier.
After you did Wrecker, I was kind of hoping for Frank Castle,
you
and
go.
You delivered. So there we go. What about this though?
Oh,
what I loved, right? We are full MCU mode with the animated series. Now, the original animated series, once they finish a story, it's done, roll credits, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This episode, after the Madeline Pryor Jean Grey exchange,
yeah,
the episode was done.
No, it wasn't.
The episode was
done. No, it wasn't.
But they throw in basically a post-credit scene before the credits.
Yes.
And they get the ball rolling for what's going to come. Maybe not in the next episode, but they're planting seeds.
Yeah.
They're planting seeds, which is total MCU in what they do.
And what I liked most about what they did, doing that right there saves them from having to start an episode with something like that.
Yes.
You know, you end an episode with a quick, like, I mean, what was that? Like maybe a minute of a scene, maybe like a minute or two, like that. You get that?
Not even like probably like a minute. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're like, oh snap! And now you can think about it, and when the next episode comes up, it could pop up anywhere.
It may not be the next episode.
Right.
Like they're just like it's just like the post-credit scenes in the MCU.
Yeah.
Like we'll get it. But that doesn't mean we're going to get that in the next movie. It might be a few movies from now. It might even be the next phase. They're just throwing it in there like, "Hey, this exists."
Yeah. It lets them put it in your mind. And then you're like, "Oh, okay, this week's episode's over." Yeah, store that in the back of my mind. That was pretty cool to see.
Yes.
And now you go through next episode, whatever, and then later on it pops up and you go, oh, yeah, that's right, that post-credit, you know.
Yeah.
If it starts an episode, you're like, ooh, this is going to be in this episode. I'm waiting for it. But when it's at the end, like, they're like, oh, when are we going to get this?
Yeah.
So I appreciated that. That was good, especially because it was introducing another character, too.
Yes. Yeah, I was like, this is total MCU mode, which I dig it.
Yeah.
Because like I said, the original animated series after the Jean Madeline, they're done with the episode.
Yeah.
Full credits. But yeah, that was like, this is post credit scene before credits.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. So
yeah. Well.
Banger Wednesdays, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
That's what we're doing here.
Yeah. And next week we'll get another episode of each. Hopefully we're still eating good. I think we will be.
Oh, every Wednesday we eat good.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday is appointment television at 5 a.m. for me.
Eating good in the neighborhood.
So yeah.
We're not sponsored by Applebee's in any way.
No. No. Like I had a certain drink. I had a certain sparkling water drink that, you know, if they want to sponsor, they can, but I'm not going to mention the name.
Well, dinner tonight was brought to you by Raising Cane's, so there's another sponsorship.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
And they carry Barks root beer. I don't know if you have a favorite root beer or if you even like root beer.
I'm not really a root beer guy.
So
I just think the taste is kind of weird.
And you know what it is? I'm wondering if what I'm going to say will resonate with you, because it does with Val. Certain root beers, like mug root beer, get kind of like a vanilla flavor to it almost.
Yeah.
But other root beers, and I think these are the ones that Val doesn't like, have almost like a mint aftertaste, minty, like spearmint. I don't know if maybe that's what gets you.
I don't think I've had enough root beer to decipher that. Okay. I've just never. You can probably literally, in my years of existence, the amount of times that I've had root beer, I would probably say under 30 times.
Okay, I thought you were going to say like 5 or 10.
I'm being conservative.
Sure.
I mean, I would think it's probably more closer to under like 20 times.
Yeah.
But like in my entire years, like, yes, you know, probably under 20 to 30 times I've had root beer in my life.
So I'm
just because it's not a, I just don't, I'm just not a fan.
I think really did it for me when I was a kid was root beer floats. I think that's really. Got it.
I don't mind root beer floats, yes.
Yeah.
But just straight root beer. Yeah.
But we also had what was it? There was a restaurant, and I can't remember it now, but they'd give you a frosted mug with a bottle of root beer, and you'd pour it, and it would get the nice big like foamy head on the and it would stay cold, and it was like, that was like a thing, like it was an experience, you know?
Yeah.
And that was for me. But like the one root beer that I always have to go back to is Barks root beer, because it has like a bite to it, and they advertise it that way, but it's real. That's like, that's what it is. It's the taste of it. It's got this like crispness to it. And I realized recently, not many places carry it. I found like one or two places where I can walk in and be like, there it is, you know, and I'll just grab one if I see it. But Raising Cane's got it on the menu. That's a bonus for them. So that's what I was, you were sipping on a sparkling beverage.
Yeah.
And that's what I was sipping on. So,
oh. Well, if anybody's listening on those companies, they want to sponsor us, you can get in touch with us.
Yeah, throw some dollars and cents our way.
Yep. There we go.
Or a phone call away.
Yep.
But anyway, I think that about wraps it up for me. You got any final thoughts?
X-Men 97, probably. It's given Loki a run for its money for my favorite series. So just throwing that out there.
Wow.
So just throwing it out there.
I think, you know, we've had three solid episodes. I'm waiting for one of them to be just flat. I'm not hoping. I'm not expecting. I don't know.
I mean, to be fair, I mean, in the original animated series, they weren't all bangers.
Right. They can't all be bangers. That's one of our core quotes in this podcast. They can't all be bangers. But maybe it's more like an apprehension. I'm just like, oh, is this one going to be the flat one? You know, we've had, it's like when you hit good, 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 you're like, you're bound to lose one here, you know? So
you see that they're playing around with bringing back some of the other animated series.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I mean, honestly, like the only one that I would really be interested in is Spider-Man.
Yes.
Because I didn't watch the other ones, like Fantastic Four or Iron Man, or I didn't watch. Saturday morning, Fox Network, Spider-Man and X-Men, those were the two.
See, I didn't watch any of those.
I watched those as a kid.
Yeah.
So like I said, that would be the only, that's another very good theme that stuck in my mind as a child.
Yeah. Hey, I'd be, oh, here we go. Sound bites.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Yeah. This is another one that if they're going to do the animated series, they need to keep this music.
I think what needs to happen right now is when you do your rabbit holes tonight.
No, I got to go to bed. I got to work early, so I got to go to bed. I can't jump down the rabbit
hole. So when you do one rabbit hole tonight, because do one, I know you will.
I know, yes, I am. Yeah.
You need to make a playlist that is 90s TV show, like Saturday morning cartoon, whatever TV show playlist for the gym.
Oh, dude, I can. That's too easy. Here's.
Hold on. I wasn't really throwing a gauntlet. I think I was just, you know, there was a fire already brewing, and I just threw another log on. That's all I did.
Oh, that's not even the original.
I can't hear it very well.
Yeah. Oh.
Is that what I think it is?
Yes,
I knew it. Yeah, that was one of my shows.
I mean, come on now.
Yeah,
if you're gonna make that playlist,
you need it.
I mean, all right, challenge accepted.
Throw it. You know, you got to throw it together. And I think you got to go in. You got to get some 90s swag going on. Get some 90s X-Men swag going on. You just got to pop in one morning and just everyone's going to be like, oh, shit, what's going on here? Yeah. You'd be like, you ready for all outs all day? It's all outs, the whole block. Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah, that's too easy.
Yeah, you'd be throwing people off treadmills and ripping them off rowers and throwing weights throwing weights at people.
Yeah.
Going crazy. There you go.
Well,
there's something for you to put together and share that with me too, because I would love to hear it.
Oh yeah, that's an easy money.
There you go.
Do that.
All right then. Well, with that, say thanks again for listening. We appreciate it. We do this for you and for us. Who are we kidding?
For the people.
Yeah. So for Hawkeye Rye, this is Hot Take Jake, and
as always,
hold on to your butts.
Boom.